the music was an absolutely vital part of the suffrage movement.
Carrie Tirado Brayman is director of the Gender Institute and a professor of English at the University of Buffalo.
It's about the politics of voice and who can speak. And women for generations, for centuries, have been defined for their silence, right?
And they'll sing in grateful chorus. Well done, sister suffragette.
Brayman talked about Sojourner Truth, a former slave in New York who, after the Civil War, began selling her songs to make a living.
She began to sing one of her songs about a mother on an auction block separated from her child. In that particular song, it was really directed toward a white audience to cultivate compassion, sympathy, and outrage at the injustice. And that was such an powerful impact on this Boston audience that she immediately became a important figure at conventions and rallies with her music.
She talked about Julia Ward Howe, who wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Ward Howe was important for what's known as contrafact, or adding new lyrics to a familiar tune.
My eyes have seen the glory of the flame of women's rage, kept smoldering for centuries, now burning in this age. We no longer will be prisoners in that same old gilded cage. That's why we're marching on. Move on over, or we'll move on over you.
You needed to have songs of solidarity, of keeping hope alive, and then really being tactical and using it as a form of persuasion and selling an idea.
There are some sheet musics that go all the way back to even the 1700s.
Mary Brennan Taylor is co-chair of the Art of Suffrage exhibit at the Keenan Center in Lockport, where 8 pieces of sheet music owned by Brennan Taylor's grandmother are on display.
I think the earliest piece I have in the exhibit is from 1905, and that one is called the Woman's March, a pro-suffrage piece. But then there are also some shockingly anti-suffrage, really misogynistic, frankly, pieces of sheet music. And there was some fear-mongering, you know, that went on. So that would be to, I think, strike fear in the heart of men and society that, you know, if women, heaven forbid, are given the opportunity to vote, the family as we know it, society as we know it, is going to be in shambles.
Some fine morning we'll all awake to find the stand that the women will take. They'll change this world all upside down. We'll have a lady mayor in every town. They'll spend all the money we poor men make to run the country they'll undertake. To say that the men do not advance, so think it's time that the women had the pain.
Needless to say, there was much more music against suffrage than for it, and the songs continued even after the 19th Amendment was signed into law. Later in the 1960s and 70s, as the battle for women's civil rights reorganized and the Equal Rights Amendment was proposed, songs like Leslie Gore's You Don't Own Me, Aretha Franklin's Respect, and Helen Reddy's I Am Woman became anthems.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend.
There's much more on our website at WBFO.org. Marion Heatherly, WBFO News.